Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I'm excited to talk with Dr. Stacey Thomas. She's a clinical psychologist, the CEO and clinical director of the Design Your Life Center, a place where she and her team of talented clinicians collaborate with clients to help them truly design their lives. With about 20 years of experience helping people navigate some of life's most difficult journeys, such as chronic pain, serious chronic illness, infertility, pregnancy loss, and sudden traumatic events, Dr. Stacey's strength is in her ability to recognize resilience and teach people how to apply proven psychological strategies in order to move past mere survival and thrive in the face of adversity. Her work with clients seamlessly interweaves cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness practices, mental skills for high performance, and clinical hypnosis, with a keen understanding of the limiting life patterns that need to be broken in order for us to break free and truly show up as our authentic selves. Her mission to democratize mental health motivated her to create the Growing Forward Journal and the Growing Forward Soul School, an online community focused on helping people grow consciously through whatever life brings. She has also been asked to host several online summits for Mindful World, including the Mindful World Parenting Summit in January 2019, which reached a global audience of 40,000 people. Whether you are struggling or surviving, or whether you're struggling or striving, Dr. Stacey is passionate about helping you fulfill your life's purpose and is honored to have the opportunity to play a role in helping you design your life. Welcome, Dr. Stacey.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me.
You're a busy lady. How do you get all that done?
You know, there's somebody I got a chance to speak to. I'm also hosting the Mindful Parenting Summit again. So I've been in the midst of some interviews. And her name is Kate Northrup. She's somebody I think your listeners should check out. She's got a fantastic book on how you organize your life according to your cycle. And she has a great saying. She says, "Nature never rushes, and yet everything always gets done." So I try to live by that mindset.
I love that. Yeah, I love Kate Northrup too. I like her stuff. I haven't read her book, but I was part of her membership site for a little while and I learned so many great things. And we've discussed a little bit about those shifts around your menstrual cycle to maximize productivity and focus and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, good. So I'm so glad that you and your listeners may have some insight into this already. But yeah, you know, I think it's when you transition into just focusing more on being and doing as opposed to thinking about all the things that need to be done, it's amazing how much gets done.
Definitely. I'm sure you have, you know, some great mindfulness practices. We can talk about those a little bit later on in the interview, but I'm sure that helps you focus and be productive and be in the moment because that's so key for productivity. But I want listeners just to get a sense of a bit about your background, so how you got to become a therapist and a little bit about your family.
Yeah, so my journey to become a clinical psychologist probably started when I first believed I would become a psychiatrist. And as I got my education, I did a degree in biology and psychology as an honors degree. And then as I went, two things happened. One, I had the experience of failing a class because I couldn't handle all of the little tadpole embryos I was murdering in this biology class, and I was just really distressed because I was really bad at what I was being asked to do. And I thought, if I can't handle this, how am I going to handle being a medical doctor? So that was one moment where I was starting to question the path. And then I took a course in behavioral medicine, which was so intriguing. And it was really all about how much the mind is involved with the body. And that so much of what we think of as being purely physical is completely influenced or completely controlled sometimes by the mind. And so that was really intriguing to me. And for years, that was the story I told about how I became a psychologist and how I got on the path to my training. And then when you do your training, you do your own therapy. And it was in that process that I realized that my journey to working with people with chronic pain and chronic illness, which was my primary focus that I wanted to work on, was really informed by my own trauma of having a caregiver who lived in my home who had chronic asthma that became worse and worse as we got older and died in my home. And I realized that part of my journey was part of my own healing process. So I share that with your listeners because we may have a story on the surface of why we do what we do, but there's always a deeper story there.
Well, that's a lot to go through and to, you know, uncover that as you're going through your own treatments and process as you became a psychologist. So that's, you know, that's a lot to go through.
Yeah, but you know what? I guess the reason I share that is because everyone has a story. We all have a backstory, and we can often be really blind to all that we're carrying with us as we go through this journey in life. And so as we go, you know, my hope is that people can really get excited and on board with the process of discovering who they really are. There's so many layers. So many layers to all of us, stuff that gets piled on. And from my perspective, the process of becoming who we are is often about shedding a lot of those layers as we get to know ourselves on the journey through various life experiences.
We're really excited to dive deeper into that because I know a lot of our listeners and my clinical patients, so it's a big transition as women go through perimenopause, getting ready to, you know, stop having periods too. The body's really shifting, mood and energy is really shifting, and it's becoming known as, you know, like the midlife crisis. So it's like, what's going to happen? Are they going to change careers? Are they going to want a divorce? So what are some of the challenges you see in clinical practice of women in this age category in their 40s as their hormones are starting to shift? What sort of concerns or challenges are they typically faced with?
Right. And I'll just own that I just turned 50 this year. So I'm in the midst of it myself.
Right. How's that going for you?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. It's really interesting. I'm actually excited. And I encourage people to get excited. I know that might sound really strange, but you know, I guess it depends where you're coming from and where you're at. I mean, we all have our own journeys, and so much of our earlier life is so focused on, you know, getting the partner, having the family, building the family. And the more your life gets busy, as we were just talking about being busy, the faster it seems to be flying by. And the menopause, perimenopause, I think within the name of it, is about like maybe there's more room to pause at this time in life, to reflect and really think about what do we want this journey to be all about for us. Right? And as our bodies are going through so many changes, you know, as I was mentioning before, most of my career I've worked with people with chronic pain and chronic illness. And, you know, a lot, I think you'll appreciate this from a perspective of a naturopath, because I love naturopaths. Your training is amazing and so holistic. And most illness or issues, it doesn't have to be illness, but issues with the body have to do with problems with boundaries. If we just think about that in a general sense. Okay. And from an, you know, we know this from research in terms of people exposed to stressful events in children, as children, is predictive of a whole host of serious medical and mental health issues as adults. And that is what the biggest predictive factor of all of it. And what's happening in those scenarios is poor boundaries, right? People are violating our boundaries. There's chaos around. Sometimes a child is taking care of a parent versus, instead of vice versa. It's trauma, trauma, trauma. And it sets us up for stress. And so in this time when we are pausing, you know, it forces us to reflect a little bit on our boundaries as women. Because we have this expectation that everything should carry on as needed, right? Like, as whatever my mind conceives as, the body just has to follow that. The body is telling us something else. And so the extent to which we listen to our bodies tells us the extent to which we're in harmony with them, the extent to which we're adjusting accordingly. And when with people who have chronic pain, often when we look carefully, the body is reacting to a scenario where this person has not really listened, hasn't picked up on the whispers, right? They're being ruled by a pattern that tells them to do something else. My practice, I tend to attract people who are high achieving, who are very successful in some ways, but are suffering in others. And, you know, when we really delve into these conversations, often they're being ruled by a pattern that says they need to show up completely for other people and whatever's happening with them doesn't matter. And so they will carry on with this pattern until the body just says, stop it already. And it brings them to their knees, sometimes quite literally.
Definitely. Yeah, I see that a lot with a chronic illness, thyroid imbalance, or significant hormone changes quickly. Maybe they get into menopause right away.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And so the body, because the boundary system, the emotional boundary system is off, what happens, right? Eventually the body is just going to tell you stop. I'm not going to allow you to go forward. And the only way out is for you to listen. The only way things get better. So sometimes people get that message. Sometimes they still don't. And it's a very tough road, right? The way out is really amazing to see. And I'm sure you've seen it in your practice. When people have to stop because the body won't allow them to continue in the same way. And then they have to make these adjustments and consider themselves in the process of their lives, right? Like really listen. And it's an interesting thing that happens where they start feeling better, but also they start becoming more important in the lives of the people around them because now they matter. But started with that person first, that they had to adopt that mindset. And it might sound like very practical things like organizing things, really listening to your energy, structuring your day according to, you know, what's best for you. Just the very basic stuff. But all of that is a shift in attitude where you're mattering in the process of all things.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think that's really important to recognize because as moms, commonly we put ourselves last and we think, I don't have any time for myself. I don't have time to see my friends or to work out. But I like what you're saying is like making ourselves the priority and then we matter more not only in our life but in others' lives as well. And we can structure our day and our routine to incorporate those things we need.
Yeah. So where we notice stress often with this change in life is that we expect everything should be as it was. It's not, right? This is not the scenario. There's a reality that's happening, shifting and changing. And we're trying to push through in spite of what's happening with us, right?
Right.
As opposed to, you know, I'm up all night. I'm sweating. I never know what temperature it is. It's like, I'm always like with my family, is it hot in here? Is it hot in here? Or often I get I got these weird symptoms sometimes
periodically where I just feel so cold. I like my shoulders are freezing right now.
Oh, geez.
I got the cold. I call it the cold flashes instead of hot flashes. And just periodically, I've been pretty lucky so far in terms of just having these spurts. But usually at night, you know, I'm getting these like hot flashes sometimes, and yeah, it's just rolling with it. And interestingly, I still have energy during the day a lot of the time. So it's, you know, but sometimes I'm just like bagged and tired. I'm like, sorry guys, I'm out. Like, if you're not ready to go to bed, I'm like passing out. I'm like, I'm going to bed, right? I'm going to bed.
So you're asking for what you need and you're making it happen.
Yeah. And it's just rolling with it. And I guess part of this is, you know, for myself, okay? And I'll talk about clients that I see with. Part of this is I'm totally on board with getting older. Like, you know, certainly I, you know, lament the fact that, oh, my knee was hurting and like took some time. And okay, like the past couple of days I could run again. Okay, yay, we're on that. I don't know if that's to do with anything. But, you know, I expect there might be some of these little glitches every now and then. But from a knowing myself perspective, from a being out in the world perspective, from a, like, I don't really give a fill in the blank, you know, what people really think. Like, I know myself now, and I'm not really, and I couldn't say that when I was in my like early 30s, as I can now, for example. So, you know, when I was at my birthday party, I was lucky I was able to celebrate my milestone birthday in a beautiful place in Mexico. And
all right.
there was this gorgeous woman, probably in her 60s, I was guessing, with her multi-generations of her family, with her grandkids and her gorgeous, everyone was gorgeous. It was like these people were from a, I don't know, Ralph Lauren photo shoot or something. And we were like dancing on the beach, and I just introduced myself. Her family was kind of hanging out, and I told her my birthday. She just gave me this big high five, right? And she's like, "Yes, yes." I'm like, "I know. I'm so looking forward to this. Like, I feel like I'm really coming into my strength and power as a woman, right?" And she could totally get on board with that idea. She was so vibrant. And so I'm just like, I'm up for it. Like, I'm alive. Like, let's say, like, we're constantly getting older. What's the alternative?
Yeah, we have no other options here.
Right? I'd rather make this ride as great as possible as opposed to lamenting what's been lost. But this is something, right, that as we go through these various journeys, like coming into motherhood, it was wonderful, and there was lots of loss too. Right.
Definitely.
At that time, this is part of the conversation around growth that we don't often talk about, which there's always some loss involved.
Mm-hmm. I remember. So when I found out I was pregnant with Stuart, yes, of course I was really happy and joyful. But then as I moved through the pregnancy and I was suffering from nausea and fatigue in the first trimester, I started to go through a mourning period. And I'd never really heard of that before, where I was really, you know, sad that I couldn't do the things I used to do. And I knew our life was going to look very different. And I was trying to work through those emotions. So I can see, you know, as hormone shifts happen and people maybe no longer have their cycle, or they can no longer get pregnant even if they didn't want to anymore, there could be a bit of grief or loss through that as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that, and I think that's important, right? It's important to recognize that there's, you know, it shows us what we've been attached to, you know, what brings meaning to our lives. And it also highlights, you know, where we can have some freedom to grow. So, you know, our relationship with our bodies, right? Like that to me, like as a woman, there's so many changes that happen, but pretty much around the world, you know, women have a very tumultuous, let's say, relationship with their bodies, because, you know, many, at least in Western cultures, dictate what your body should look like.
It's true. Right. I remember those teen magazines and comparing myself. Those are the worst things out there for teenagers. And now it's all online.
We're bombarded all the time. And even within this time of this digital age, right, where there's all these images, within a year, the body shape that's, you know, fashionable and sexy and hot can change. right?
True.
I think there's, you know, there's variety now at least, but it's still, they're all unrealistic for most people. Yeah. And we always are gravitating towards the one we do not have. And, you know, I think that this transition, you know, people will, the fat seems to be deposited different places than usual. Even myself, I'm like, with this pandemic, I can't work out in the same way that I used to. And I'm like, okay, like this might be hormonal. This could be also the fact that I'm not exercising the same level. I'm really not so happy. But at the same time, trying to bring myself to a place of acceptance of like, okay, this is what it is. And I know I'm strong. I know I have energy. And if I have a little bit around the middle, okay. Okay.
Right.
I'm not, you know, it's not that I love it. Right. I still find myself looking at it, squeezing it, noticing it. And I'm like, okay, I see something here that's shifted and changed. And I would like to feel like that is not, I'm not as aware of it, but I'm just staying with the awareness of it. And I'm not going to kill myself to try to get rid of it. I know this.
Mm-hmm. No, I see so many women. Yeah. Once the weight shifts happen and there's more accumulation of fat in the midsection, you know, mm-hmm. women may start working out 5, 6, 7 days a week doing intense workouts, and that's going to throw off our cortisol, our hormones in other negative ways. And it really doesn't work, right? It can make you actually go in the opposite direction. So I like the idea of embracing the changes. And how can we foster some self-love? Like, are there certain practices like telling ourselves what we love about our body, or do any of those things work, or how do we get them to work?
Okay, so this is my thing. Our bodies are where we get to live. Like my perspective is essentially human beings are spiritual beings that are here having a human experience. And the body allows us to navigate this physical plane. And that might seem a bit woo-woo, but that's how I think.
No, I think that's so, really refreshing. Yes.
So, you know, it's like my house, right? That's where I get to live. So I had this insight one time, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but
I'll edit it out if you're not.
Okay. But I'll say this. I was on a run one morning, and this thought came to me. Like, can you imagine if someone came into your house and took a dump in the front hallway?
Oh, jeez.
Like, you would not have that person back in your house. And like, no. So why would I allow anyone, or even worse, myself, take a dump on my body? Mm-hmm. Like, why would I allow that?
Yeah, right? That's a great way to look at it. And those dumps are those thoughts, that negative self-talk.
Yeah, it's just like, this is like just the hatred, right? Like just being so negative about where I live. I get to navigate this world in this body. And so why not appreciate it, take great care of it to the best of my ability, really focus on what it allows me to do, right? Not just what it looks like, which is, you know, as we're sitting here, like I can see part of my body. I can't see all of it. That's something that someone else's judgment, that's automatically someone else's view. Right?
Right.
So I'm not interested in the outside in experience. I'm interested in the inside out, mm-hmm. right? Living that way. And so I just invite listeners to really take that perspective of like, what is it like to be in my body as opposed to be outside of my body looking at it?
Great. I think that's a good exercise. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's like sitting with that, recognizing, you know, what feels good in your body. You know, you exactly. mentioned you feel strong and energetic and shifting the focus.
Yes. So about enjoyment and energy, right? So as our bodies change, they need different things. And if we get really good at listening to our bodies, right? So any kind of listening practice, okay? I always say life is more about listening than talking. We really just, and we're not trained to listen. So if we if you have a practice of any form of listening, whether it's journaling or just meditation or just some time of quiet where you're tuned in to yourself, your body will tell you a whole bunch of things. You know, when you're feeling kind of gross after a meal, like, ugh, what was that? I don't think I want to eat that anymore. Like, your body will start to tell you.
Right.
And if you follow that, you're going to find the right path. It sounds like really, you know, amorphous, but in my experience, I experience a lot of my clients, it's just tuning in, like actually paying attention. And food is such a huge part of things that, you know, when we feel gross after eating something, if we just slow down and really pay attention to a meal, we'll notice like, ugh, I'm so salty. Like, why? If something's super salty, it probably wasn't great quality ingredients. Like, right. Just necessarily.
Right? Yeah, to make it up and spin flavor with the salt. Yeah.
Salt, right? Like, so much of what we eat is just about the salt. So, you know, when you start slowing down and really paying attention and really, when I say listening, it's not necessarily the ears, it's just really deeply paying attention to what's going on within us in certain moments. So eating is one example. We naturally start to make changes. Our kids do this. They're very attuned to what they need. And they can't necessarily articulate it, but they, you know, our kids will, all of a sudden they're all about the fruit, or they're like not eating meat and they're eating like, you know, whatever vegetables or, you know, I have one very sensitive child who shifts her, you know, what she's eating at any given time. And she eats like, she concentrates on certain foods,
right,
more than others at certain times. And I just, you know, I'm looking at her and she's healthy. She's strong. She actually makes great choices. They're not organized in a way that we typically organize a meal, but overall actually fantastic. She's eating really well.
Yeah, kids can do that, right? Where they focus on carbs for a week and then protein, but it's all about the averages, right? What happens over a longer period of time. And I really like that idea of, you know, the analogy of seeing how you feel when you eat a certain food or meal, because I get a lot of patients to track in a food journal the symptoms they're experiencing as well. And I think you have a journal that is going to be really useful for people, right? To kind of sit with and listen to their body, sit with their thoughts and beliefs. Yeah. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. So this journal is something I decided to put together to help more people do, like, try to replicate what I offer in my clients and in my therapy sessions with them, which is about the listening. So what I want people to understand is you already have the answer. Like, you really do. The challenge is you haven't been encouraged to listen, and you haven't been provided the right conditions in order for you to actually tap into the truth. Okay. So the journal is based on a few things. The journal is a tool that can help with accessing the truth. And I'm going to explain how I advise people to use the journal, but it's also based on this notion of growth. So the Growing Forward journal is based on the understanding that in order to grow, you have to also leave something behind. There's always some level of destruction or grief or loss when we're growing. So right now is an example, right? Like this time that we're recording this podcast, we're at an unprecedented time over the past, you know, probably past 100 years or so or more, where the entire world's gripped by the same thing and things aren't as they normally are. And there's a lot of pain that's going along with that reality. And as this pain is happening, there's also a lot of good things that are arising out of that same moment. And we have this awareness that there is a shift that is taking place. And within that shift, there's opportunity. So when we are feeling something that is painful, we're sad or angry, usually underneath the anger is sadness. if we pay attention, it shows us what's really important to us. It shows us sometimes the things that we need to drop because it's just not really the reality right now, right? I had to come to the terms with losing something I love, which is travel, traveling far away. I was like, okay, I need to let go of this
because otherwise I'm just in a state of suffering. It's that my pining for it is not going to make it come faster. But it shows me, if I really delve in, like, what is it about traveling that I really love? Right? And so I can explore that part of it. And there's places where I can amplify and experience and still have some experience to travel that might be different from what I had before. And I could also pay attention to what also was really amazing right now, the kinds of conversations we're having, the level of awareness we're having with each other, how people are more and more interested in mental health, and there's more resources that are becoming increasingly available for people. These are all really good things that are coming out of this pause. This pause that is causing us to look at how overscheduled we are. And now maybe make different choices on purpose, right? Yeah. So I just use that as an example that growth is always uncomfortable. I mean, going to work out is not comfortable, but we have a mindset where we accept this truth, right? When we're like, I'll pick a spinning class, for example. There's been many times when I have been in there going, oh my God, why am I here? It's usually like right before it starts. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then it's just like, well, I'm not going to like stumble in the dark and try to get out of here. Like I'm here. And so I have to shift into a place of acceptance of, okay, this is what it is. And, you know, it's different from life because, yes, class is going to end. But my point being that acceptance that pain is always wrapped up in growth and that we need to focus on going through it and that there's always something for us in it, that just changes the game entirely. And, you know, our athletes who, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with, they understand this. Like an athlete will just accept the fact that this is a painful process, right?
Yeah.
They don't rally against it. And when you just drop that piece, right? All of us initially, when something happens, change happens, we didn't ask for, we don't want. Of course, this is part of the grief process. We're pushing against it. We don't want to accept it. We're denying it. We're angry. Why? We're looking for a way out of it. This is our survival brain at play. Eventually, we just need to, either we stay in that place until we're like broken down and we have no choice but to accept, or we just clue in faster and go, oh, this is one of those moments. Okay, this is what it is. Let me pay attention to what's happening within me. Okay, and just like any athlete, I believe that we can practice this mindset and we can practice the tools, and if we support each other through it, you will actually experience like, wow, this life is really for me. There's nothing about life that is against life. That makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
Right. So you are here as this unique expression of life that will never be replicated ever. Your purpose here, as far as I'm concerned, is to be who you are, this unique expression of life. And so within this growth process, it's painful because we're having to let go of something. And when we pay attention, often there is an old theme or an old story that's showing up in this very moment that we haven't reconciled or healed from, typically.
Okay, yeah.
So you know, let's talk about the transition that your listeners are going through. You know, we talked about body image. Like, so our attachment to who we are based on our appearance, right? And that's where we hold our power. And we're losing our power in this society, okay? So that gives us the opportunity to really look at that. Do we accept that? Are we going to be complicit with that idea? We know it exists, but what do we choose? Okay, so we start to explore and mess with that. And this is how we come to terms with change, right?
Right.
We might decide to, you know what, I don't want to give away my power that way. I could spend thousands of dollars with various surgeries and cosmetic things, and I'm not judging anybody for that, but maybe there's another option available. Mm-hmm. What might it be like for me to feel even more free in my body as it changes through this stage of life. Right?
Right.
So again, we just start to mess with, like, look at this stuff more carefully and decide, what do we actually want to experience in this world? Right? Is it actually the case that my power is wrapped up in my appearance, in the shape of my body? Is that all that is? Right?
Right.
Right. You know, so, and how, what is the experience I want to have? So these, as we reflect and we look at where that pain is coming from, you know, it will uncover, it will reveal to us, you know, what has been a source of stress probably for a long time, that what we might choose at this moment to let go of. Yeah. So that's just one example. And through any kind of change, it's not, you know, there's the place where we just need a place to let it out. So journaling is a very helpful process when we are writing about what's emotionally relevant. We know that all physical symptoms go down. Doesn't matter what it is. Every measure, it shows improvement. It shows improvement in this area too, right? Because we're giving a venue, I should say. They don't know exactly why, but this is my hypothesis, is that we're processing feelings as opposed to storing it in the body.
Right, right. That makes sense to just unload it, right? Get it out there, and then we don't hold on to it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we know that when women are going through various hormonal changes, you know, I mentioned Kate Northup at the beginning. What's happening is, you know, now, like, you know, depending on, you know, the hormonal fluctuations, there's times when we can maintain the boundaries and times when we can't. It doesn't change what's been behind the boundaries, right? So if the difference is, when our boundaries are down, that stuff bothered us all the time. It's just we don't have the ability to make it nice for everybody anymore and make it nice for ourselves. We're just seeing more of the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's like that extended PMS, right? Like the few weeks before your period when you're cycling, a lot of people say, oh, it's just my hormones. But, you know, it can be things that are there, but kind of under the surface that then come up, right? And then in perimenopause, it's like an extended PMS and really, you know, I can't live with this anymore.
And it's just that we minimize, we put up our walls, like we are socialized to be accommodating. That is how we are socialized. And when the boundaries are down because our hormones are high, we can't do it anymore. Doesn't mean that the voice isn't holding some truth. Okay. So I would say, listen to that voice. The only reason she's screaming is because we haven't been very good at respecting her and what she actually wants. We haven't stood up for her. So this is where I'd say, even that time, the awareness is right at the surface. When we are raw, the truth is right there. So we tend to, because again, we're socialized to be accommodating, to dismiss it all as just the hormones. No.
Right.
That's the truth. We just don't, we're not doing the thing we've been trained to do, which is to stuff it down and keep it moving and make sure everybody else is okay. So if we have a practice of really caring about what this vulnerable part of ourselves needs us to hear, she doesn't have to scream so loud. She really doesn't. So this is where a journaling practice, I think, this is a wonderful time in life to take that up if you haven't already. And the way that I do that is just from my training, I know that empathy and compassion is everything. And that what we can give in spades, we're really bad at giving to ourselves, because most of us have not been on the receiving end of compassion. Okay, but we know how to give it to people. So this journaling practice is a practice of practicing this with ourselves. And so the way that I do this is I start with just taking some deep breaths and really centering. One way to really center is to just focus on the sensation of the breath in one particular area. So
the nose, for example. Just notice the breath going in and out of the nose and see if you can pinpoint that sensation. And usually that really helps to center us quite well. And then one thing I do, I don't do it necessarily always this explicitly, but I encourage people to do, is just to keep, put a hand on your heart and just say the three, these three phrases to yourself. And here they are. There's nothing you could possibly say, think, or feel that would ever compromise my regard for you.
Powerful, powerful.
Yeah, there's more. There's nothing you could possibly say, think, or feel that would ever compromise my respect for you. There's nothing you could possibly say, think, or feel that would ever compromise my love for you.
Very powerful.
Yeah. And then we give ourselves, you know, 15 minutes and you just write. Just write, stream of consciousness, write. I'm right now on Instagram leading a practice. I call it the Flow to Grow practice. And basically we do this. And for the duration of the pandemic, we are focusing on boundaries because boundaries are everything. It's the ultimate human quandary of how do I take care of myself while also being in the presence of others, right?
Right.
So we're exploring this. We've been doing it now for about 7 or 8 weeks now, I think. And yeah, so there's, if you want a prompt, you can use a prompt. Or often for myself, and typically in my own practice, I don't have a prompt. I just sit there and write for 15 or 20 minutes. The only idea is that you don't stop. You don't cross anything out. You don't edit anything. You just let it go. And what I noticed when I do that is that voice on the page just seems different from my own voice, my regular voice. Like it just seems a bit more direct, clear. Even if I'm in circles somewhat, you know, sometimes you're kind of finding your way meandering around. It's just interesting where it goes. And so part of this practice is really practicing being with yourself, really being curious and interested in what comes up, right? And there's often clarity that arises for us as a result. So that's just the basic practice. And in the journal that I've made available online, the instructions are there and there's space for that. And then there's three resiliency practices that help to ground us. And the other thing that's happening, besides the turmoil, is there's some beautiful things that are happening at the same time. It's hard for us to notice because we're in a state of stress. Okay, so when the brain is stressed out, things are just not as they're supposed to be. We yearn for the past when it was predictable. We really need to pay attention to the good. And when we make it a practice, we're more likely to notice it in our everyday lives. So many people have heard about a gratitude practice, so that's there.
Yeah.
There's two other resiliency practices that we know help people get through difficult times and build resilience, and that's joy. Okay, so noticing moments of joy, things that you really enjoy in the moment, and noticing areas of competence, things that you're actually doing well, okay, that are meaningful to you. So every day, I break up my journal for myself when I use it, is I just stream of consciousness in the morning. At the end of the day, take stock of those three moments of gratitude, three moments of joy, three moments of competence, and actual experiences of that day, not the generic. What was it today, right? And so when we do that, when we make that a practice, that cues the brain that when it's actually happening at that time, you're leaning in and being more present in those moments.
What if you're having a bad day? Like, do you still find some moments of joy that you had?
You can. It's possible. Yeah. Sometimes you just have one. Maybe it's like small. It's like, you know, that moment in the morning when nobody was around.
I had some alone time in the bathroom.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's that, but it's there. It's still there. Guaranteed it's there. But we are, again, the brain is biased always at the best of times towards the negative. We're wired to pay attention to that and deeply encode that. What we need to also do to balance is, as Dr. Rick Hansen says, grow the green.
We need to actually pay attention to those good times in order to bring the brain to that awareness. And we can keep those as the jewels, right? Like when we do that, we actually create a treasure chest within us that we can go to access when we need it, those memories of those moments.
That's such a great visualization. So putting them in the treasure box, having those joyous moments there to kind of pull out and experience and look at. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the journal goes through this, and after 7 days, there's prompts to kind of just look back and notice whatever you notice. What do you notice there? That's when you read through all of it, the messy stuff and the beautiful stuff, and what stands out to you. And then what do you notice about where you're growing, and what do you need to do to support your growth, right? Where do you need to grow? So there's those questions, and then there's a page for an action plan. Like, what is it that you intentionally choose to do over the coming week in the name of growth, because you're going through growth? And there's usually on the opposite page is just a concept that you might want to integrate to inform what you do next. So that's how it's structured, and I've made it available for free online. You just go to the growingforwardjournal.com. You can download a copy. And on Instagram, every week, we've got lots of content there. Every week, I am leading a practice early Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. You'll see me in my office. And I give the prompt, and we just sit and do this writing practice together. And but people have told me, before I started, I'm like, this is going to be a pretty boring video of me just sitting there writing. But people who do the practice, and if you can't get up at 7 or something happens, if you register for it, and the link's in the bio online, you'll get the recording. Okay, so you can do it on your own time. And so people who do it that way, they say, you know what, it feels like you're just with me. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Amazing.
That's awesome. So, you know, people are getting into this practice, and it's really, really incredible, particularly when you can do it live. Like when you know there's a whole bunch of other humans doing this practice together, it just changes things. And what's really interesting is that this is, again, it's philosophy, but people should experience it for yourselves. We dip into this collective consciousness. We dip into this thing that's unspoken and can't see, but really binds us together. And what's so interesting, the following day, when I go back online live on Instagram and invite a guest to join me, and we just talk about what came through in our writing practice. And sometimes we've said almost the exact same thing.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. So it's like, yeah, that collective subconscious that you're tapping into and setting that sacred space aside. I think that sounds like such a valuable opportunity to take advantage of. So we'll definitely share the links in your Instagram account in the show notes and encourage listeners to join in.
Yeah. So just to be clear, because I have a few Instagram accounts, I can't believe it. I'm so bad at social media, but this is the one that they want to check out is the Growing Forward Soul School. Growing Forward Soul School is the correct Instagram account. And this is just the beginning. So I've decided to make this free. We're going to make a whole lot more content for you with the community site. There will be likely a membership site, but there'll be a lot of free stuff there.
Amazing.
So one of the things I've been fortunate to do is I've become connected with a number of thought leaders in the area of growth and mental health, and through the opportunity that's been given to me to host these Mindful Well Parenting Summits. And many people who've learned about what I'm doing are really supportive. And so in the Soul School, eventually there'll be some really, really amazing people joining us as teachers. But the main thing is that everyone's a teacher. That's what I want everyone to understand. There's some people that are very well known and some people you would never have heard of. And this is the thing that I feel so privileged to be exposed to in my practice as a psychologist, is the incredible wisdom that lies in the most, what appear to be ordinary places. And I think that all of us have this available to us within us again, just need to learn to listen.
Love it. So really listen, tune in, set aside that space to hone in on that practice and check out the growing forward journal, because that can be a really useful tool and working on some of those resiliency practices like gratitude, joy, and confidence, just thinking of those at the end of the day. So I feel like I could talk to you forever and ever. We're going to have you come back on if you're okay with that in the future,
because
we delved into a lot of good topics, but I'm sure there's still so many more questions our listeners have, but we'll put all that information in the show notes. And now we'll shift to the second part of the podcast. So we're going to talk about, you know, how we're doing as moms. Of course, we're all doing a great job, especially during this really challenging time, but we'll focus on what is our super mom moment of the week. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first? Okay. So my super mom moment. So we just found out that Stuart, my just over 3-year-old, is going back to preschool next week. So it really gave me a chance today to reflect on, wow, we did it. We're almost there. And not that, you know, it's been, you know, all challenges and negativity. We've had some really special moments. So it's bittersweet because I've really gotten to take him places. You know, we've been social distancing, but going to the beach or nice parks and spending time in nature together and really just connecting even more. But I think my super mom moment is I got through this time. I still kept up some of my self-care practices, not everything, of course, still had fun. Yes, there were breakdown moments, but I'm happy the way that it went.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Thanks. And how about you? What's yours, Dr. Stacey?
For the week, I would say is having the children join me in making meals.
Nice.
Actually, like, cooking together. And it's been fun, and I feel fun for them too. And we're feeling really more connected. And I realized that, I was just getting the short end of the stick, being the one doing all the meal stuff after a long day and feeling like, I wasn't really connecting or having enough time to connect with my kids and inviting them into the process, and they were genuinely interested, and it's been fun. So that's my super mom moment.
That's definitely a super mom moment. So they're learning, they're helping out, and it takes something off your plate. So it's a win-win for sure.
Yeah.
And I guess we have to admit to some mess up. So my mom mess up, well, it isn't of the week. It's been going on for a little while. We still haven't been able to get Stuart to use the potty or show interest. So it's not the end of the world, but he could have moved up into a different class in preschool. So then he wouldn't have to transition again in September. But anyway, he's going to have to go back to his original preschool classroom and then change again in September because he's still wearing pull-ups. But we're going to get there. I haven't forced it. I think once he goes back and sees the other kids using the potty, he might be a little bit more interested in it. So it's, you know, it's not a huge mess up, but it's something I could have had the intent. I think just having the intention of working on it might have been a good start, but I didn't add that on my plate during this time.
And I'd say, thank God you did it.
Like, I know.
You know, give ourselves a break. And it's, you know, he's kind of come into the awareness in his own time. And it's going to be a great moment for him in terms of his sense of confidence and transitioning to another phase. So I would say just trust the process with that one. I
think that's right. Thank you. Thanks for that perspective. Yeah. I know they're, you know, we don't want to force, we want them to show interest. So I really appreciate that. And I know, Dr. Stacey, you're doing such a great job, but did you have any mess up this past week or any time recently?
Yeah, I guess I would say, as you mentioned, I've been fairly busy. And I think my misstep this week was one time my daughter let me know that she was quite upset because I wasn't present really with her. Like, I had other things I needed to do, and she had a little breakdown. I was like, you know what? I did a misstep there in terms of not better appreciating how much I have been not around and putting something aside that could have been set aside sooner, and really making extra efforts this week because it's been a more intense week with my time away. So that would be a misstep that my daughter is pretty good at letting me know about.
Well, well, she let you know you were obviously aware of it. And then it sounds like, yeah, having the intention of moving forward to, if it's possible, put that aside. But I think that's a real struggle for all of us, right? We want to be present, but we're just, we have so much on our plates right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. And then we'll go to the mama must have. So for me, since the pandemic started, I'd always had sleep challenges, but it got pretty bad. I would try to go to bed early, but then I'd wake up around 4 and I couldn't fall back asleep. And then I'd try to have a nap in the day. So I actually am getting, and you're probably, I think you might do this too, Dr. Stacy, but CBTI, so cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. So I've had a few sessions of that. So it's basically like sleep training for adults.
Yeah.
Which I guess I needed, because it first looks at your beliefs around sleep and, you know, what you need, what does sleep look like, how will you function without it? And then it looks at changing your schedule. So I've had to stay up a lot later. I'm only in bed for a certain amount of time and I can't nap in the day, but it's actually working. Like I'm sleeping a lot better and more solidly. Awesome. Yeah.
Good. Amazing.
That's my mama must have.
Okay. And mine is, you're probably going to guess, my journal and my special pen. I've got a couple of special pens that I'm very attached to that write forever. And I cannot leave my house. It's almost like I have to leave my house, making sure I have it in my bag.
What? Oh, your journal. Perfect. Oh, so you bring it with you.
Journal. Yeah. I would have a journal of some kind with me all the time. And I have to have one of my special pens.
Nice. Is it like, what kind of pen is it or what color?
Well, this one, they're all the same brand. And I don't even know if this is, it says sustainable seltzer goods on it. This one I've been using this week is hot pink with a purple unicorn on it.
Wow.
I love it. That's my pen that I have to have with me.
Great. Well, thanks. That's a really good one to share. So bring your journal everywhere, even if you have a smaller one in your purse, and have some nice pens that you enjoy writing with. Well, thank you, Dr. Stacy Thomas, for joining us. We'll be sure to share all the information and we hope to have you on in the future.
Would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Take care, everybody, and stay safe.